The Tom Woods Show, episode 2272.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. We all know it is time for us to break up, but everybody's status quo bias is standing in the way of this obvious and humane solution. Check out my brand new ebook called National Divorce, The Peaceful Solution to Irreconcilable Differences, which you can get for free at nationaldivorce.com. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here. I'm very glad to be joined again by our friend Ali Rock, who appeared over the weekend at my event in Orlando. I have a program, as you all know, the Tom Woods School of Life. You can check it out at tomschooloflife.com. And we have an in-person event that is optional for people who like to get together with other normal people and non-defeatist people who are out there trying to get things done. And we had just a tremendous event with really, really practical instruction from a lot of people on a lot of different topics. And everybody got to meet a lot of really great people. We had magic from Doc Dixon, good food, and it was just a wonderful time. And Ali was there talking about her experiences in a blue state, namely Maryland, and in a blue county, and how she's had some success even under really, really challenging circumstances. And her slides were very detailed, and she was giving us all kinds of detailed suggestions. There was no fluff involved, but there was so much she wanted to say that she wasn't able to get to it all. So I thought, well, doggone it, you're going to come on the Tom Woods Show, and we're going to get into all those details from your slides. So, Ali, welcome back.
Oh, thanks so much, Tom, for having me. It was a great weekend. Had a lot of fun, met a lot of people, learned a lot of things myself. So I'm excited to share with your broader audience some of the things that I've been up to.
Well, I want to focus, if we may, primarily on the COVID stuff, since that's become, sure, I don't know, it's like my white whale or something. I just can't get away from it. And in particular, on that masking issue, you had some success in your area. So I would like to talk about basically what you learned over the course of this. And you even, on your slides, one of the slides introduced what you call the five principles. If we could, I'd like to go through those and have you, without a time constraint and without, you know, your husband flashing that you have 10 minutes left, even though you have 3 hours worth of material still to go, without any of that in your face, I'd like you to be able to just take your time and walk us through these things. Now, some of it is going to involve doing things that some people might be uncomfortable with. Like some people, they don't want to be involved in the legislative process. Uh-huh. They feel like they don't want to get their hands dirty with stuff like this. And it's not for everyone. It's true. But at the same time, the legislative process is where all this bad stuff is done. So sometimes you're going to have no choice if you want to choke it off to actually go where the dirty work is being done.
Yes. And also to add on to that, the majority of people in your community aren't paying attention to the legislative process at the local or state level. And you're at an incredible advantage if you want to make real change to learn it and to understand it and to be involved with it. Because first of all, you're positioning yourself as a leader in your community and people will follow you. And that's really what you need. One of my principles is volume of response. So we'll talk about that later. But the other thing is that you really can keep an eye on what's happening. You can catch things before really bad stuff goes down. So that's really why it's important, I think, for anybody who wants real change to get involved in that.
Well, you started off by saying something that seems quite startling, but then the more you think about it, the more true you realize it is. You said most people don't even know how a bill becomes a law in their own state. They don't know if they have a full or part-time legislature. They uh-huh. don't know when the legislature's in session. They don't know what kind of budgetary or discretionary power the governor has. All these sorts of things you could easily find out just by searching for them mm-hmm. that you would need to know if you wanted to get something done. Most people don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. And to also understand, when you do know how the legislature works, you can really hold a lot of people accountable because they will try to do things shady, underhanded, quick, dark of night, all those things. But also just to let everybody know, like I mentioned, like Chicken Little, sometimes people, when a bill is introduced, just introduced and makes the headlines, you know, they start thinking, oh my gosh, that's it. I have to move everything's falling down around me. It's like, just chill. We have some time.
Yeah. So you're in Maryland, but any particular details you'd have about the situation in Maryland would be not necessarily applicable to people in other states. But how was it beneficial for you to be aware of the structure of the Maryland government?
So that was actually a huge white pill for me when I got started just wanting to be more involved in the political processes. A few years ago, I had an issue near and dear to my heart that seemed hopeless in this state. And when I learned from a lobbyist the structure of the Maryland government, I thought, wow, this is incredibly powerful information to know. So, for example, in Maryland, our legislature is only on a 90-day session. So it convenes, I believe it's the first Wednesday of the first full week of January, and it adjourns 90 days later. So kind of early April. And we have what's known as a committee structure. And a lot of states do have a committee structure in which they work, where you only have 90 days when you're at the Capitol. So every legislator from all corners of the state needs to make their mark, right? So they introduce tens of thousands of pieces of legislation a year. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. No one needs that many new laws. Not all of them are going to pass. Very few of them really do in the end, you know, comparatively. So what happens is they get assigned to committees, and the committees do the work to investigate the quality of the legislation. And so that's where people, ordinary people like myself, like someone who wants to get something either passed or defeated, has a lot of power, because those committee hearings are going on all throughout the 90 days. And legislators are working at breakneck speed to try to convince their colleagues that their pet project needs to advance forward, right? So they want quality testimony from expert witnesses or from passionate community members who would be able to testify to how the bill or the new law would impact their community. Okay. So that's what legislators want. On the opposite side of that, you can work to defeat a bill within that committee structure by bringing your own expert witness testimony against such a measure, or bringing yourself or people en masse, hopefully, to testify about how passing that bill would harm them or harm their community. So this is actually, in the state of Maryland, how they defeated physician-assisted suicide four times before it ever got to a floor vote in the House, because they were so good. The coalition against physician-assisted suicide worked so well in those committees with some of my five principles of winning, but especially talking points, to really kind of scare legislators off that bill to just kill it in committee. If you can kill it in committee, it doesn't even get raised for a vote. It's over. And it's amazing what you can do as a citizen working within like those committee structures, because only 12 to 15 legislators, that's all you have to convince, 12 to 15 legislators. And even in Maryland, where we're outnumbered 3-1 in both houses, Democrat to Republican, you know, you've got at least like a third of those 12 to 15 legislators probably agree with you ideologically. So it's like just finding those few, really, it's a numbers game. So that's how, knowing how the Maryland legislature works, we've had incredible success killing bad legislation before it gets to the floor. Once it gets to the floor, you've got 144 legislators or 29 senators or whatever, or 44 senators, whatever it is, to convince. That's a lot harder.
All right, let's go to the second of the five principles, which has to do with crafting talking points. And you even have kind of a do and don't approach to this. This kind of talking point rather than that one.
Yes. So it's really important. I guess the number one thing is when you're sitting down and you're going to write to your legislator, either just independently by yourself, or you're part of a broader coalition maybe that's going to make more of a group go at it, okay? Maybe you're following the advice of a lobbying organization that's close to you. So I work a lot with Maryland Right to Life or the Maryland Catholic Conference, but also we have a lot of gun legislation that goes on here in Maryland. You know, like a lot of fighting against attacks on the Second Amendment. So Maryland shall issue or that sort of thing. They might issue talking points and they want you to craft your, you know, your email or your phone call in a certain way. So the biggest thing though is take partisan politics completely out of it. Do not use kind of a broader ideology when speaking unless you know 100%, like without a doubt, that the person that you're talking to agrees with you in whatever reference you're making 100% the same way you're phrasing it. So when it's a life issue, we never bring religion into it. We never want to talk about God says or the Bible says because the person you're talking to might be an atheist. Or, goodness, they might be a completely different brand of Christianity than you are. For example, I'm Catholic. There are certain things that I say about the Bible or about life that's very different from the way a Jewish person or even, you know, certain sects of evangelical Protestantism would look at something. So you never want to say something like, well, this is a conservative value or this is a liberal value or Democrat or Republican. And that's because you actually don't want them to be making decisions based only on their ideology or yours. So the biggest things that you want to do is make it concrete. What will this bill or this measure do or not do for you personally or the community? So personal relevant stories are extremely powerful, but you have to craft them in a way that really gets to the heart of the issue. Okay, so I give an example of a bill that we were working on down here. Well, a bill that came to our attention. And it was introduced by our state senator in the district in which I live. So a lobbying organization called me and said, we need phone calls and emails. Just, we didn't want the legislator to withdraw his bill. We just wanted an amendment introduced. Okay, and it had to do with doula services in the state Medicaid bill. Now, when I put an action alert out to my community, a friend of mine picked up the phone immediately and called the senator's office because when she saw that the bill was about adding doula services, which is like a birth assistant to the state Medicaid program, so low-income women getting help during the birthing process, she had experience in the state of Massachusetts with that very same measure. And so she was an adoptive mom. The birth mom from whom she adopted her son was able to use a doula during her third birth, and it made all the difference in the world. So there's a positive story, right? She called up as an expert with experience. So she wasn't even saying, I want this bill pulled. But because she had that experience, she asked for the amendment. But I would oppose this measure because you have not excluded X from being able to take advantage of this bill. And the senator ended up begging her to testify in his bill hearing because those kinds of stories are so powerful. They really convinced the other legislators, like, look, someone has used this measure before and it helped them. But the opposite can be true too. Like, physician-assisted suicide is a good example. You just had a guest on a couple of weeks ago that talking about the horrors in Canada. And that's also where I have a lot of experience with being able to convince people that the bill is bad because of the unintended consequences. So people whose family and loved ones have had a great experience in hospice, who have had their lives have been valued and cherished, and they've been given comfort and grace all the way to the end, those are powerful stories too. So those are some of my do's and don'ts. But what I always start with, me personally, I always look at a bill. If it's something I want to defeat, if it's something I want to work to kill in committee, I want it totally withdrawn. You want to think of the worst unintended consequences that could come about as the consequences of that bill. Okay, recently, my county government tried to ban properly permitted concealed carry weapons from any of their properties. When they started the bill, when they introduced the bill, they made it within 100 yards of any county-owned property, building, or park. And so we had small businesses who literally are 100 yards from the county courthouse or 100 yards from the health department or their parking lot, right? So now you have people who obtained a concealed carry weapon in Maryland. Our restrictions were very strict. They got struck down with the SCOTUS decision, the Bruin decision in June. So we've had people who are able to go ahead and take advantage of the permitting process now in much larger numbers. But people who were able to even obtain their weapons under the old rules, which were way harder, would now not even be able to use, would not even be able to carry on their own property and their business property. So talking about that, I mean, that was very compelling. It was the first thing they amended out of the bill when they tried to keep it alive. They took away the 100-yard buffer immediately and just made it within buildings. So that's like one example. Always go to the worst unintended consequence of a bill, because your goal really is to scare a legislator off of supporting the bill in that iteration. Because even if they're a Democrat and they're really for gun control, but you show them like you're actually going to put my business in danger or something like that, then they're not thinking partisan anymore. They're thinking, this is my constituent who's telling me there's a real problem with what I've written. So those are just some of my kind of do's and don'ts. I mean, I have a lot of them, but.
I was impressed also with your discussion of the use of technology and different platforms that can accomplish X, Y, and Z for you. You know, it looked like you and those working with you were really well put together.
Yes. So when I made up these five principles, these literally are the five principles I've made up. Like, these aren't from a book I read. These aren't from all the lobbying organizations I work from. These are like, why have I seen more success than someone else with the same heart that I do, but they can't get it done like I can? And so using technology is so important. I could spend a lot of time. There's some really great technology out there. But something as simple as using free social media. So I organized my group, Reopen Charles County. That was, for the last 3 years, our COVID pushback organization. And the very first thing I did was a closed Facebook group. And I took firm control. So I say, if you are going to have a Facebook group, it can't be like, let anybody post anytime. And it's got to be like, you're controlling the conversation. First of all, because I set myself out early, like, this is my group. And, you know, we're all in this together and I need all of your help. But I set the rules. So it's not going to be about us arguing. You know, it's just going to be about us getting things done. So I have post approval on, and there's certain topics I've said we just can't discuss in here because we've worked too hard to build up our platform. You know, we have 1,600 people in my group, and to be wiped out by Facebook in a day because you insisted on saying one of the the Facebook banned words is just silly. So convincing people that, yes, we should have free speech, but not in this group, okay? In this group, it's just about being effective. So Facebook groups can be really great. And I say Facebook, even though we all hate Facebook, it's where the people are. You know, it's where your community members are. It's very hard to get people to switch to like a MeWe group or forget Telegram. A lot of people beg me to go to Telegram. It's like, yeah, I can find 100 members of my community on Telegram, but I can find 40,000 on Facebook. So I use Facebook, a private group, but I also always have a public facing business page. So it's not hard to make, but it is hard to get reach. So you do have to understand that just because you've made like a business page, people aren't going to just find you. So using things like a public facing business page are important, but know that you have to work for your views. Okay. So whenever I post something on the public page, I share it in my group. So then my group sees it, they go to the public page, they share it, comment, I will send it in Facebook Messenger, I'll text it to people just so it gets out, obviously sharing on your own page, that sort of thing. And then the algorithm starts to like you a little bit and they'll share your stuff. But Twitter would work too. I just find that Twitter is so broad. You can talk to someone across the world on Twitter, but Facebook, there's always a community page or something you can like post your link under. So that's kind of why I like Facebook. I also don't engage trolls. I just ban them. Maybe one or two polite exchanges, but you're really not there to convince people of your arguments. You're really there to find more people who believe what you believe.
But I wouldn't mind if you repeated that 10 times, because even I sometimes need to hear that, honestly.
Yeah. Well, even this weekend, you know, CJ did his wonderful talk, CJ Kilmer, on, you know, talking to people who are indoctrinated or like in a cult, right? And it's like everything he was saying, I was just nodding my head. I was like, this is so important. When you're trying to convince anybody of anything, it takes time. So if you're trying to convince people and change their mind, it takes time. And you don't really have the benefit of time when you're staring down like a deadline for killing a bill or, you know, stopping a COVID restriction or something like that. So that's kind of why I have that rule. And, you know, he joked like, well, Twitter's the only place you can argue. So it's like, all right, if you have to get it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, quick message from our sponsor, Blinkist. What would it be like to be the most interesting person in the room? Well, making you into that person, the person you want to be in 2023, is what Blinkist is all about. Blinkist is an app that takes thousands of nonfiction titles and gives you the key takeaway points in just 15 minutes, either in audio or written form. And very conveniently, they've organized a bunch of books that are in the same kind of genre into collections or guides. And so there's one called Conservative Ideologies. Now, okay, we're defining that quite broadly because it includes books by Barry Goldwater, Russell Kirk, Friedrich Hayek, Milton Friedman, Murray Rothbard, Ayn Rand, and Andrew Breitbart, among others. And by the way, that range of authors is way, way better of a representation of where we stand than almost anything that Slate or Salon or all these other places that hate us would be able to put together. You can be absorbing the key insights of book after book after book on your commute. Rather than fritter that time away, you can be making yourself into that person you've always wanted to be. And don't forget their brand new feature, Blinkist Connect, that allows you to share some of the most interesting titles you've encountered on Blinkist with your best friend. So it gives you, in effect, two subscriptions for the price of one. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/woods to start your 7-day free trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/woods to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/woods. And now for a limited time, you can even use Blinkist Connect to share your premium account. You'll get two premium subscriptions for the price of one. All right, so how about the principle of motivating your constituency? This is key because especially in a place where you're outnumbered, the winner is the side that gets more people to do something.
Yeah. So I just want to back up real quick on technology because it's not just Facebook that I use, but I do advocate that people get a website, they get a logo, they can use Canva or Adobe or something to like create their graphics for social media. So that kind of goes hand in hand. So anything you are posting is like really polished and smooth. I'm telling you, people trust you more when your graphics look good. It seems shallow, but it's so true.
Oh, yeah. And it makes it look like, for some reason, people think you have an army behind you. If you look that professional, this must be a major, major movement.
Right. And always say we, don't say I. So Reopen Charles County is me, you know, and a few friends that help me get the word out, but it's me. I'm basically a sole proprietor, you know, but I always say we, and that's just something I think I picked up from like marketing or sales. You always say we, not I, so that they think you are an organization because you are, you know, just they don't need to know that it's just you.
No, absolutely. And I love how technology can make it appear that you're some kind of a wizard. Because like, I do things like I used to sometimes in my emails, it's not possible to send video in an email. That can't be done. Uh-huh. But you can send what looks like a video. But it's actually, they want us to pronounce G-I-F, GIF, by the way, which I will never do over my dead body. But you can put one of those in your email and it looks like a video.
Right.
And you say, yeah, here's the video clip. Click on it to watch the whole thing. And so again, it's like, wow, geez, Woods really knows what he's doing. Now I got some plugin. You know, I found some software that does that for me. That kind of thing. Or I have really, really beautifully designed websites. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is. And it's something that just takes a little bit of dough or just knowing the right person. Or you know what? Even this weekend at the conference, we had a very nice conference program. You know, it's folded, you open it up, it tells you everything that's going on. It cost me $12 to make that beautiful thing. I hired somebody through Fiverr And they made this beautiful schedule and they only wanted to charge me $12. So I said a $25 tip. I'm not letting you charge me $12 for this beautiful program. But again, it meant look like, wow, the Tom Woods graphics team must have been hard at work. The Tom Woods graphics team is one person he linked up with on Fiverr, you know, but it leaves an amazing impression with people.
Yes, exactly. And then you become a brand, you know, so then you can take advantage of all of those principles of marketing in your political advocacy. So that's actually something I did a few years ago. I wanted, and this actually leads right into motivating your constituency, which is my principle number four. I wanted to know, I was in the pro-life movement. I mean, I am still now, but that's where I got started, right? My passion. And I wanted to know why during a legislative session, when we needed to kill a bad bill, I could get thousands of people, well, hundreds within my orbit, and then the greater movement in the state could get tens of thousands of people to make phone calls and emails. But like, why can't we keep that motivation going all through the year, right? And so I was very, very into apologetics. And this kind of is why talking points are something I love to craft. I just, when I have an email that I need to, you know, an action alert, to me, it's like my canvas and I'm Monet. You know, like it's just, I love it. It's something that I love. I love finding the best arguments. So I wanted to know, how do I convince, how do I persuade someone when we're not in crisis mode? Because like, imagine if we all just like stayed focused all the time, right? Well, the truth is that we can't. Like, just people can't be concerned about something as much as you are as the leader. So I read a marketing book, you know, it was like a friend who was in social media, like business to business marketing or whatever. And she recommended the 7 Secrets of Persuasion by James Crimmins. And it's not really anything new. I was told when I started telling people about the book, oh yeah, those are just principles of marketing. But it was tapping into like kind of the neural marketing, you know, like what subliminally or subconsciously makes someone make a decision. Okay. So it's interesting. I thought it would be like giving me the words to say to explain to someone, but really it's like basically how to trick someone into continuing to be tuned in. Okay. So one of those 7 secrets was like making mental availability. If you make it very easy for someone to take action, then they will. So my conversion rate, when I send out an action alert, like when I send out one of my links that has an email attached to it. So one of the programs I use is for direct email campaigns, not a petition. Petitions, by the way, are just to collect contact information. A legislator never looks at a list of 10,000 names and goes, whoa. But if you can send 10,000 emails with one click from a constituent, they can just type in their name and their address and an email gets sent to their legislator and the legislator has to delete 10,000 emails, that's a much bigger impact. So mental availability, if you make it so easy for them to just click and take action, then they will. So I use direct email campaigns. I will text message people. If I need them to make a phone call to the governor's office, you know, even, I will craft a very brief text message that has the phone number in there. All of us have smartphones now. When a phone number comes up, it's hyperlinked. Their thumb is right there on the message. How can they not? And I'm giving them a script. Please call the governor and say you do not want him to shut down restaurants and gyms right before Christmas. This was actually something that we did in Maryland in December 2020. And we did. We had to go to work and we had no time for emails. We had to call his office. And so, boom, it's like there's their thumb. So mental availability, make it very easy to take actions. But once I do have a following, I really don't abuse their attention. Okay. I don't try to get them tuned into every libertarian or conservative cause that's in our community. I try to stay really focused. Like my Reopen group, we're there to help individuals and we're there to help small businesses be able to stay reopened, right? So if there's an issue in the community that deals with those things, then I will bring it to my group's attention. But somebody wants me right now to help with a petition to stop some RV park on someone's private property. I'm like, I just can't get excited about that. So those are some things that I do. to keep my constituency motivated. And I always, always claim a victory, no matter how small. So when we were fighting our mask mandate last year, our hearing, after we got out of court, after we negotiated them to withdraw their emergency order, with our lawsuit, we pressured them to try to pass it legislatively. And the hearing actually got postponed twice from pressuring from us, because delay, 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 right? And I claimed victory every time. I said, victory, you know, we've pushed this off, no masks for Christmas, no masks for the new year, et cetera, et cetera. So those are some of the things that I do when keeping my constituency motivated. So you claim a victory early, and then the other side can't say, well, you know, we only gave up on that measure because of XYZ. No, then the whole community looks at you and said, look at them. They negotiated this. You know, they pressured the commissioner board to withdraw that measure or vote that down. And then that's incredible credibility for you. And it's not fake. It's not a fake victory. It's just that I claimed it first before anybody could diminish it.
Yeah. Well, the thing you said about sending a bunch of emails, I think spills over into the last of the principles about the volume of response. And you were saying that there are various ways that people can make their opinions known to state officials. And sending an email is one, but picking up the phone is another one that's actually, in effect, worth more if we were scoring it than just an email. And then actually going to the office. And no one really thinks to do that. You do that, that's like a whole bunch of emails.
Yes. Because like I said at the beginning of this, most people are not paying attention. In a state with a part-time legislature, they are working at a breakneck speed to pass all of their pet projects, right? So really, they don't want any attention on anything they're trying to like slip in, okay? They want lots of attention on something that is going to give them incredible credibility with like their base of support, okay? But generally, they just don't hear from people on bills at all. So sometimes I do score things. An email is important, but let's say that's like 25 points, okay? Well, that's good. If you can get 100 people to send an email, then that's 2,500, right? But if you can get 50 people to make a phone call, I rank phone calls at like 100 points. So 50 phone calls is actually going to have a greater impact than 100 emails. But if you can get a group, even if it's just a handful of people, to go visit a legislator in their office, that is incredibly impactful because you have just shown that you will drive to the Capitol. Now, Maryland is not a big state. Pretty much unless you live on like Western Maryland, it really only takes you between an hour and a half to get to the Capitol. Where it might be more difficult and say, my home state of New York, I grew up in Buffalo, which is 6 or 7 hours from the Capitol, you know? So it almost might even be more impactful if someone from like Buffalo, New York travels to Albany than necessarily someone from Southern Maryland going to Annapolis. But still, you've just shown this issue means so much to this person that they took time off of work, found my office, you know, maybe called my chief of staff and made an appointment. Like, I really do need to listen to what they have to say. So when you're in that in-person meeting, if you've crafted those talking points really well, the legislator doesn't even know, is this person a Republican, a Libertarian, an Independent, a Democrat? I don't know, because they're not speaking in ideological language. They're just talking to me about how this bill is going to hurt them or their community or their family or whatever. So ideally, you want a mix of all of these. And it's important to know, I actually didn't put this on my slide, but earlier in the process of trying to pass a piece of legislation, you need a variety of these things, right? But towards the end, the importance of them changes. So early on, you write an email to a legislator. The legislator is going to take time to read it and see what points you're making. Or if you call on the phone, they might ask you more questions because they kind of want to get to the bottom of like, okay, why are you taking an interest in this bill that just got introduced in the House, hasn't even been assigned to a committee yet, right? Because it's got to go through a committee and then it's got to pass the House and then it's got to go over to the Senate. It's got to get another hearing, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end, when you are like racing time, and a vote on the floor is imminent and we need everybody calling their legislators. At that point, the legislators are just counting. So when you call a legislator 24 hours before a vote, I guarantee you'll never have to make your case. You'll just have to say, I oppose HB 1030. And that's because they're getting swamped, which is good. It's a good thing. So in the end, you just want the most numbers on the board. So you want people making the phone calls, sending the emails, ideally doing both, like send an email, then pick up the phone, right? And if they can get up there for the floor vote, and you can go find your legislator before they vote and say, hi, I'm from your district. Please, I'm begging you to vote no on HB 1030. All of that really makes an impact in the end.
Where should people go to follow you? Is it the major social media outlets? Because I can link to those.
Yes. So I'm just like ordinary me, right, on Facebook. So I think that's probably the best place for people to find me. But I do want everybody to know that I am going to be launching my own platform, my own website soon to teach people these principles. Because first of all, I've been telling myself for 3 or 4 years I need to do it. And then after this weekend, everybody came up to me, you should really teach other people this. And, wow, that's always been the plan. So it's just the kick in the pants that I needed. You know, to introduce me, I'm a homeschooling mother of 4, soon to be 5. You may have heard trumpets in the background during this interview because I'm at homeschool band practice. So it's just kind of one of those busy things. But I will be launching theactivistacademy.com very soon. And that will be where you can just learn a little bit more about these principles and what works, what doesn't. And also, you know, if I can help your organization to, you know, kind of get lifted off the ground with an important cause, I'm very open to doing that.
Okay, good. So I'll put what you've got for now, I'll put that up at tomwoods.com/2272. But make sure you let me know when your academy is up and running, because I would definitely be happy to promote that for you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate all this great information.
Thanks, Tom.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.